You know, often when I preach, every now and again, I preach against gamers, right? People that are, I talk about, you know, the current generation that play, and look, my kids play video games. There's nothing necessarily wrong with video games in and of itself. But I was a bit of a gamer when I was a teenager. You know, if you, in the mid-90s, you would actually, instead of having, you know, something that you could play in your house, you'd have to go to the arcade machine. And, you know, I don't know if anyone remembers a game called NBA Jam. I don't know. I used to play, you know, there was this code that you, if you didn't put money into the machine, there was this code. I don't remember what it was. You move the joystick so much, you press whatever buttons, and if you did the code just right, it would allow you to play this tank game, where you're driving this tank for about 20 seconds, like a free game. You didn't put any money in. You just put the right code in, and you could enjoy this 20-second free game on NBA Jam. Also, you know, if you'd play certain games on the PC. It was very common for people to have cheat codes. I don't know if you have cheat codes today, where you would, and it was very hard to find cheat codes because we didn't have the internet like we have it today, where you can just Google everything. Sometimes you'd have to buy like a gaming magazine or something to find the cheat codes. And when you enter into the cheat code, you would have maybe invincibility, so you'd be able to pass levels without dying, things like that. And anyway, when I was thinking about this idea of the cheat code, I also discovered in my Christian life that in the Christian life, there are certain cheat codes to life. And I want to share one of those cheat codes with you tonight. And the reason this comes to my attention is just been the last few weeks, just different conversations that I have with different people. That's not everybody, but just different conversations amongst whether it's God's people, whether it's people within church, or whether it's people that have called me. I get phone calls as well from people that are just not from our church. Or even different, like I listen to different podcasts. You know, I do a bit of traveling back and forth between Sydney. I listen to different podcasts about different things, where it's archaeology, history, finances, whatever it is, I listen to different things. And I realize, you know, if I could just summarize one key thing that a lot of people are missing, and I feel I've discovered this cheat code, and this cheat code is contentment. Contentment. And the title for the sermon tonight is In Search of Contentment. In Search of Contentment. Now, people have different ideas of what it means to be content. Many people think contentment is being joyful and being happy, you know, pretty much all the time. And, you know, largely, I feel that I am quite a happy person most of the time. And yes, it's easy, I guess, to feel contentment when you have joy. But I'm here to tell you that even when you have sadness and even when you're going through trials and difficulties and life can be confusing, you can still have contentment even during that time. So again, a lot of people think contentment is based on being happy. But I'm telling you, you know, even when you're sad, even when you're depressed, even when things are falling apart seemingly, you can have contentment. It truly is a cheat code to life. Some people think, well, I will become content at some point. If I can just achieve this or I get to that point in life, then I'll truly be content. But you know what? A lot of people do end up achieving what they think is going to give them the contentment. But when they get there, they find, well, I'm not content here either. You see, what I'm trying to say to you is that you can have contentment right now, tonight. Like, you can have contentment right now. And, of course, that contentment comes from the Lord, okay? That contentment comes from the Lord. You know, contentment, yeah, it may carry the idea of being happy and joyful, but really, the idea behind it is to be satisfied. To be content is to be satisfied. Man, I need to be doing something more to have purpose and meaning in life. I'm saying to you, I have it today. Like, if the Lord said to me, all right, Kevin, today's your last day, you know, you're passing away tonight, I'll be like, all right, Lord, if that's, you know, I mean, I hope not. I hope I'm only halfway through my life, but, you know, I'd be content for the Lord to say, all right, this is the end of your life. I'd be like, all right, Lord, I'm happy. I'm content. I'm satisfied. Lord, even though not everything has to go according to my will or my plans, but Lord, if that's your will for me, I'm happy to go today if that's what you think is best for me, Lord. And so, again, many times I talk to different types of people. I feel that generally people are missing contentment, that they're missing this cheat code. They need this cheat code in their life. And often when I hear, let me share with you the world, okay? And look, when I say the world, you know, obviously we're talking about people that are not seeking the Lord. But when I say this, the world has the flesh, and we also have the flesh. So sometimes what the world experiences, even believers can experience. And, you know, I'm just thinking about going from primary school and high school and having different groups of friends at different points in time. there was always someone that would say something along the lines of, you know, when I grow up, I just want to be wealthy. I want to have, you know, a lot of riches. And, you know, you sort of ask, and their concept is like, if I just have a certain amount of money, whether it's in the millions or billions, then I'll be content. But then you ask them, like, why? Like, what's the point of having all that wealth, all that money? And they don't really have an answer. They don't really have an answer. They're just like, they think money is the solution. And again, sometimes I listen to different podcasts. It could even be about finances. Not that I care about wealth, but sometimes I've got a big family. We've got a lot of expenses back and forth. I'm often seeing, hey, is there a better way to budget? Is there a better way to structure my finances? Is there a better way to organize my mortgage, etc., you know, for the purpose of a larger family? I don't care about riches, but when I often hear these people that speak of finances, they have started with this concept. They want wealth, but they don't always know for what purpose. And that's largely the world. For what purpose? They think maybe it's going to give me contentment, but the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you get to that point, maybe you become the multimillionaire, but what you find is all it's given me is many sorrows to life. It's not giving me the contentment that I thought it would. Then someone else, and look, I'm glad you're still there in Luke 12, we'll come back to Luke 12, but someone else might say, well, you know, of course, it's not so much about the money, yeah, but you know, it's the possessions. You know, one day I'd like to own a Ferrari. I want to drive my own Ferrari. And you sort of say, I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with that again in of itself. But again, what, because people think if I just have something, a possession, that's going to give me contentment in life. But you know, you get the new Ferrari, and I don't know, I've never driven one, maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, it will give you a temporary joy. You're driving around and, wow, look at this car. You know, you're showing off to your mates or whatever it is. But after a few months, it's just another car. It's just getting me from point, it's not getting me from point A to point B any faster or anything like that. I'm sure we've all experienced where we've had something new and shiny. It felt nice for a while. But then after a while, especially when you have kids and they put their hand marks all over it, sometimes it's like, oh, whatever, who cares? You kind of lose the excitement. If you're looking for contentment in material wealth, you're not going to find it. In fact, you're there in Luke 12. Look at verse number 15. Luke 12, 15, it says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Hey, but the world thinks that. They think if I just can get the material wealth or possessions that I need, then I can get to that point of contentment. And, you know, usually people that want the Ferrari, they're looking for a certain social status. They want to be seen by others. They want to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know if you keeping up with the Joneses, right? It's not so much what they really want. It's just I want to appear to be successful. I want to appear. I want to be praised by man. And, but they, again, that's not going to give you contentment. Christ says our life is more than what we possess. Like, surely our life is much more than that. And then as people mature and grow and they get to a certain point in life, they start to realize, you know what? It's not really about the wealth and the possessions. They'll say, well, it's not, I don't care about enjoying it right now, but you know, if I can just invest for the future, right? So I can retire early and I don't know what people's ideas are. They're like, well, you know, maybe we can travel the world and, you know, we can just relax. And that's their purpose in life, right? To just amass as much as they can now, labor as hard as they can now for some future enjoyment. But the thing about that is we don't even know if we're going to see tomorrow. Like, you work so hard for something in the future that you don't even know if you're ever going to get there. In fact, you're in Luke 12, look at verse number 16. Let's keep going. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Now look, when you have too much room for all your abundance, I've seen it in this church where people are like, I've got too much. Here, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, or family so-and-so, you can have some of my abundance, and praise God when that happens. But what does this man do? Verse 18, and he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Because you know what? I'll invest in the future. I'll keep investing in myself for some future payoff to come. Verse number 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thinks this is what life is about, right? Amassing as much as I can, retiring early, just take it, you know, just life, to make sure it's life is just a breeze, right? That's when he'll be merry, right? That's what he thinks. And then verse number 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Brethren, I want you to be rich toward God. Like, I want you to lay up your hopes and your dreams and your riches in heaven with God. Because, brethren, that's going to be there forever. The riches and possessions and wealth you have in this life, again, you may not even see tomorrow, and all that work and labor for what? What did it really give you? Did it give you the contentment that you were looking for? Now, when I say these things, I want to be mindful as well. I'm not saying wealth is something wicked. The love of money is really all evil. I'm not saying having nice possessions is a horrible thing. What if God blesses you with Ferrari? Praise God. You know, I don't want it, but praise God. You know, if God's giving you something of hey, investing and thinking of the future, like, these things are not wicked in them of themselves. But if you're trying to find contentment in these things, you're not going to find it. And I'm telling you, the world doesn't even find it. But yeah, on Facebook, they'll take a picture, a selfie with their Ferrari. You know, they'll look happy, they'll look content, they look successful, but I'm telling you, there's still an empty hole in their soul, and they're truly not happy with life. And so I'm listening to these podcasts, and like, you know, oh, you know, we're just saving for the future, investment for the children, this and that, retire early. And it always seems that as these people achieve their so-called dreams, there's always something lacking, okay? And then they realize, hold on, these material wealth, these things, just for me and my efforts, it doesn't really give me what I was looking for. Like, you start to hear this in the podcasts, right? And then the next concept is, okay, well, maybe what will really give me contentment is to leave a mark or to leave a legacy for the future, where my name will be remembered. But again, look, names are lost to history. You know, we don't even know, like, we have some good historical records, but truly, we don't even have all the records. You know, the Bible speaks of nations and kings that archaeology are yet to discover. You know, names get lost, legacies get lost, people get forgotten. You know, nobody's going to be talking, you know, 100 years from now, whether Ronaldo or Messi were the greatest football players on the earth. No one's going to care about 100 years from now. There'll be other great players or whatever, you know, if the Lord tarries is coming, right? There'll be other, like, names are forgotten, and this idea of legacy doesn't really give you what you're seeking for. Then people sort of start to change their mind. It's okay, so it's not so much the pursuit of wealth and finances and possessions. It becomes, well, it's more about creating experiences. You know, and they start to realize, look, life is not guaranteed. And they start to realize the truth of the Bible. Life is a vapor. It could be here today. It could be gone tomorrow. So I'm just seeking to create experiences to maximize my enjoyment with these few years that I have. Okay? So it's more about the experiences and what can I achieve and the maximum joy that I can find. And unfortunately for many, they seek those experiences in drugs and alcohol and the clubbing scene and sleeping around and all kinds of wickedness and filth. And it, again, that just takes them down a bad, you know, spiral. But also, you know, we have this, if you can come with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Come with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. There is a man in the Bible that surely did experience everything you can experience under the sun. Like, anything anybody could ever wish to do or have, it was King Solomon. He had it all. He had all the wealth. He had all the possessions. And you guys know these passages, Ecclesiastes 1:14. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That's Solomon. Look, Solomon experienced everything. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. He's done everything a man could ever, you know, people talk about your bucket list. He had his bucket list and he fulfilled all of his bucket list. And he goes, I've done it all, I've seen it all, I've done, you know, and it's all vanity. It's all vexatious. He goes, it doesn't give me contentment. It's not giving me what I'm really looking for, right? You're in Ecclesiastes, look at chapter 2, verse number 17. It says, chapter 2, verse 17, therefore I hated life. You know, I don't want you to hate life. I don't want to hate life. I mean, it's such a precious thing that I'm even alive, right? It's such a precious thing. I mean, God's given us life. He's given us a soul. He's given us a plan. He's given us his will to live. I don't want to hate life, you know, and I certainly don't want my brothers and sisters in the Lord to hate life. But it says, therefore, I hate life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. He goes, yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. He goes, I've come to realize I just hate it all because I'm not going to take it with me when I die. Like I labored so hard for all these things in life. But when I pass away, someone else is going to take it all. So it's all, what was the point of it all then? Right? That's the realization that Solomon comes to. And we will come back to Solomon later in the sermon. So again, I'm listening to these different podcasts, conversations. I'm starting to see this theme, even amongst God's people. It's a lack of contentment. And I realize, you know what? I've got something. I've got this cheat code that I want to share with other people. You know, I'm content. Like, and most of the time, I am quite a happy person. But even when I'm downcast, even when I'm feeling sad, and, you know, those are feelings that you're going to go through in life, right? You can feel happiness today and sadness tomorrow. Even in my sadness, I feel content. Because I've come to realize, you know what? Even when things aren't going exactly how I wish, the Lord's allowing me to go through this period of time for whatever purpose he has. And I know the purpose is for my good. I know the purpose is for his glory. And that just, okay, Lord, again, Lord, if you want to take my life tonight or tomorrow, all right, Lord, it's in your hands. Just make sure my family's looked after. Just please take care. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he, you know, he's thought about all of those things well before I had. But I've got this contentment that I feel like a lot of people are lacking, okay? So again, when you listen to these podcasts, they start to realize, people start to realize, as they get to the point where they think they're going to get content and they don't, like, what's the next thing they're looking for? Okay, so they start to realize, okay, it's not really the wealth and the money, and it's not really the experiences. It's not giving me what I want. I'm traveling to Thailand. I'm traveling to, you know, I don't know, the Caribbean. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It's like, it seems like they, and at this point, they start to get kind of spiritual. They start to realize, you know what? Life isn't really material. They start to realize life is spiritual, but because they don't know the Bible and they don't have Jesus as a savior, they're kind of lost. And the next step that they take is they say, well, what's really going to give me contentment is self-actualization. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, self-actualization. And that's known as the highest level of psychological development, the highest level of psychological development. And where this idea comes from is there were some studies done where people were on the deathbed and they're asked, you know, if there's something you could have changed in life or done differently, what would that have been? And one of the top responses, I'll just read it here. It says, I wish I lived a life that is true to myself instead of the life others expected of me. People say something like that. I wish I lived a life that was true to myself. You know, and the idea of self-actualization is this, is reaching your full potential based on your skills, based on your interests, based on your intellect. Reaching your full potential of self, you know, recognizing who you are and not really comparing yourself to others, but comparing yourself to you. And at that point, self-actualization, I don't agree with this, by the way, but I'm just sharing it with you, okay? Like, it's kind of going on the right track. It kind of goes on the right track. They start to realize it's not the material wealth that gives true contentment and joy, but being true to yourself is the idea. And so what we should be striving to do is living a life according to this ideology that, you know, it doesn't matter what others have to say, or, you know, I don't want to be restricted by any other person. I'm going to live what I want. I want to do what I want. I'm going to reach my full potential. And they think that's going to give them the contentment. But you know, when it's me, it's a very selfish attitude to have. It's very selfish, actually. And this idea of self-actualization actually is synonymous with enlightenment in Buddhism. Okay? Enlightenment in Buddhism is, it's kind of like this end goal to awaken to self, to awaken of, work out who you truly are, and to essentially be liberated from the material world. Like any connections, any emotional connections, any desires. If a Buddhist can get to the point like a Buddhist monk, like where they just feel completely separated from the material world, they've reached self-actualization, and when they die, they reach nirvana, and they cease to exist. And that's the point of life for them. It's strange. Like this journey, and I was listening, and I go, hold on. These people are looking for a spiritual answer because they're searching contentment. And they just keep searching, they just keep searching, they just keep searching, and they never find it. But I'm here to tell you, brethren, you can find it, and you can find it tonight. You can have it tonight. And God wants to freely give it to you. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2, please. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning to Philippians 2, I'll read to you from Acts 20, 34, which says, "Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." So Paul is saying, look, I've worked, yes, for my necessities, but for others also, right? Like for Paul, life wasn't just about what he wants, but he's also looking out for the needs of others. Because then he says in verse number 35, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." See, when it's about self, you're fulfilling your own needs and your own desires, and you're trying to liberate yourself from all things that might you feel might be restricting you so you can reach your so-called full potential. You start to forget about the needs of others, what they need from you. Look, we're all interconnected. You know, we can't just be on this soul journey on ourselves. I've got a wife, I've got children, I've got churches. You know, we are built, we have relationships, we're connected with people. You can't remove yourself and become a monk in a monastery and think that's going to give me contentment in life. No. Jesus Christ said it is more blessed to give, to think of others. When you see someone in need, a brother who is weak, and you can come alongside and sacrificially give to them rather than being concerned about what I want and what I need. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so even these people that are so-called going this self-actualization journey, they're still not content. They're not getting the blessing that Jesus Christ says, which is better to give than to receive, better to be thinking of other people than of your own personal needs. You're in Philippians 2, verse 4. Philippians 2, verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." This is the mind that ought to be in us, that we are willing to lay down our lives for our Lord God and his will and his purpose in our life. Christ was able to do this, lay down his life for the sake of others, to save our souls, to forgive our sins, to face the wrath of God. He did it for others. And this is the mind that we ought to have ourselves. Come with me to another passage. Come with me to Hebrews 12. I want to show you something else. Hebrews 12, verse 2. We know how much Christ suffered. We know how much he suffered for us. I mean, we know what the Bible says. I guess we don't really know how much he suffered because we're not going to experience the suffering he experienced. But, I mean, could Jesus find contentment dying for the sins of mankind, do you think? Like, again, the idea of contentment and joy sometimes is mixed up. And but what we see in Christ here, in Hebrews 12, 2, you guys know this passage, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for, look at this, who for the joy, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, it's hard to, like, when we think of Christ on the cross and his death and his suffering and, like, you know, he's bleeding, he's broken, right? He's despised, right? He's forsaken by the Father. And what kept Christ sustained is this joy. He goes, for the joy that was set before him. See, what he was looking at the end of that verse says, and he's set down the right hand of the throne of God. For Christ, he said, you know what? This suffering is but for a moment. I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to be seated at the right hand of my Father, having done exactly what God expected me to do. And that's what gave him joy, even when he's facing the greatest suffering anybody could ever face. And I'm saying to you, brethren, what's going to give you contentment? Again, don't mix up with, or Jesus had joy in this example. But what's going to get you through life when things are falling apart and, you know, you just feel like everything's collapsing and, you know, you're sad and you're burdened and you're just like, I just don't like life. I'm hating life, maybe. We're like Jesus. Okay? We have the advantage compared to the world that we can think of eternity to come, which is a real place and a real position where we know even if God were to take my life today, I'm truly not dead. I'm going to be living, and I'm going to be living the greatest life with my Savior in heaven. That's what gives me contentment, because I know exactly where I'm going to be. If I had a heart attack right now and I just collapsed, you know, everyone's going to be worried, right? Like, when is he okay? Is he okay? I'm going to be like, woo! I'm going to be like, looking at Jesus and looking, whoa, I made it, woo! Yes! Excited. And truly, you know, when we can factor in contentment into the picture and we think of eternity, then I feel this is the cheat code. We have the cheat code because we know eternity is real and we don't have the burden of thinking, what's going to happen to me in eternity? Am I going to have a right standing with God? I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to hell. We don't even have that burden. We know 100% I'm going to be in heaven because of what Christ has done for me. And that gives great rejoicing, great contentment in life. But these people lack these things. The next thing that people look for, and this is when people go insane. I'm talking about the wealthiest of the wealthiest. I'm talking about the most powerful of the powerful on this earth, right? They've got all the wealth. They've got all the possessions. They've got all the experiences. They've got the whole Solomon experience. They've experienced everything under the sun. They're still seeking contentment, right? And they're trying to figure out, and they just can never get the contentment they're looking for. And they realize, even if they get to the point of self-actualization, they realize, well, then it wasn't the possessions that were really needed, but it was sort of figuring out who I am and have I done everything that I can. But then they realize, hold on, but therefore, if it's not about possessions and wealth, then the poor man is going to the same place that I am, to the grave. Then what was it all worth for? If I can't take my wealth and my possessions and my status and everything that I've achieved, if I can't take that with me, what was the point of it all? So then they go insane. And they search what we already have. They search for eternal life. But they look for eternal life on this earth. You know, then they start looking at transhumanism. How can I still continue to exist after my mortal body is destroyed? Right? Maybe science and technology will one day unlock eternal life and I can always have my legacy. I can have my possession. And they lose it. They go insane. They're looking for eternal life. And all this time, we've been saying to them, hey, it's free. Eternal life is free. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on what Jesus has done. But they rejected that. And they go crazy. They think they can download their consciousness one day into a hard drive that'll go into a cyborg and then they can walk the earth. They freeze their bodies. Maybe someday we'll figure out how to you know, make that body alive again with new technology and what have you. I don't know. I mean, I don't believe that'll ever happen, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not saying there's not attempts, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen. But they seek, it's funny, like, on this journey, they get everything. And they just end up going, I wanted eternal life. And this is why, as a believer, we can truly be content. Because you've got it. And it didn't cost you anything. That was like step one on the journey, right? That's like step one, right? Get saved. Yep, done it, eternal life. Great. Okay, now what do I do? But for them, that's like their last step. But they never get there. And they're never content. So we have truly an advantage compared to the world. And come with me to 1 Corinthians 7, please. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Now, I've given you the example of the world. And it's sad. It just reinforces to me that we need to give these people the gospel before they're so far gone, so far from the Lord, reprobate even, you know. And but what is just as sad is when believers are lacking contentment. And we can lose. Like, maybe the moment you got saved, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm satisfied. I've got what I've been searching for, right? But then, like anything that is new, it starts to look less shiny as time goes on. Life throws its curveballs at you, and before you know it, you're not really living the joy that you once had and the contentment you once had. And sometimes we, because we have flesh, we can start searching for those things, the wealth, the possessions. Oh, Lord, I think if you just give me that job, if you just give me that house, Lord, if you just give me that $1 million, Lord, then I'll really be content. But you're just going to go on the same journey, or similar journey. You won't go insane like the others. But I'm just saying, like, you start to chase those things. And, you know, what I'm trying to tell you, brethren, is you can be content today. Another misunderstanding of contentment is the idea that, well, I'll be content once I reach my target. And I'm not saying that because I'm content today, I don't have objectives and targets. I do. I have many things that I would like to achieve in life. But whether I do or not, or how long it takes to achieve those things, is not going to take away my contentment or add to my contentment. I already have it. Whether I achieve what I really want to achieve in life, how long it takes, because I've also learned to enjoy or to find contentment, not at the destination, but on the journey. And even if the journey never gets there. You know, one of my objectives, just to share, I've shared this before, is to have a like-minded church like ours in every state in Australia. I don't know if I'll ever do it. Maybe other men will do it one day. Okay? Maybe I won't even see that. Maybe I'll pass away before that happens. I don't know. But that's something that I have in my mind. But I'm not going to be, I'm not going to say, well, you know, Lord, and look, is that a good and righteous thing to do? Well, yeah, it is. But I'm not going to say, hey, Lord, please make this happen so I can be content and satisfied. I'm satisfied already. I don't need a 500 member church to be content. I was content with, I don't know, well, the 15-20 that we started with. I was content. And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm this big shot. I'm not. It's just, you know, what is it that really gives contentment is when you can measure whatever it is in life, when you can measure that in light of not what others have to say about you, but what the Lord is saying about you. And again, we're not perfect. I'm not a perfect human being. I mess up. I make mistakes. But I'm kind of, even when I mess up, yeah, okay, I feel bad about it, but I'm like, well, Lord, you know I'm like that, though. I am weak. I am fragile. I am but dust. I have a sinful nature. And Lord, when I mess up, I'm just going to go to you and say, Lord, sorry, confess my sins, whatever it is, Lord, help me. All right, and I'm back with my Lord. I'm content. All right, like even in my frailty, I'm content because I know this is just a period of time. I know that down the track in the future, God's going to give me a new body and I'll never fail again. I'll never fail my Lord again in that body. But the thing is, even my failure, God knows that I have a body that fails, that makes mistakes, right? I've got that. I'm content with that even, believe it or not. Because this is just the process of life at the moment. This is what God knows, right? If that was a major issue, then God would have given us a new body the moment we got saved. Now, he wants to use me, even in my corrupted body, that I can walk in the Spirit and not have victory of myself, but have victory in him, who gives me the ability to do what is righteous and what is right in his eyes. Did I get to turn somewhere? If I didn't, can you come with me to 1 Corinthians 7? 1 Corinthians 7. And verse number 17. The Bible reads, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. So ordain I in all churches." Look, God has given us every man, it says here, you know, God has called each one of us to walk with him. Okay? We all have a walk with our Lord. And I want you to notice, it says in verse 18, "Is any man called being circumcised?" Now, this is obviously a reference to the Jews. But let's say a Gentile may have been circumcised, what have you. It says, "Let him not become uncircumcised." Is any called uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. You see, Paul is telling us here, you don't have to compare yourselves one to another. Someone's been circumcised, someone has not. Don't desire what the other person has, or don't compare yourself to that other person. Again, it's that idea sometimes as Christians, and you can sometimes compare yourself to even another brother or sister in the Lord, or compare your family to another family. Look, don't do that. I guarantee you, you compare yourself to other people, you will lack contentment in life. He says in verse number 19, "Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God." So what does God want from us? Keep his commandments. To know his commandments, do his commandments, love his commandments. That's vastly more superior than looking at one or other in a physical sense, comparing ourselves. He says in verse number 20, "Let every man abide in the same calling when he was called," wherein he was called. So whatever your calling or your position is right now, okay, God says, look, you can abide in that and you can walk in his ways. We're all different. I'm a pastor. Maybe one day someone here is going to be a pastor, or at least we're all church members, right? We have different sized families. We've been saved at different times. We all have a different calling in life. But wherever you're at, it's not like, oh, Lord, one day when I get to become this or that, that's when I'll walk with you. That's when I'll be content. Reverend, you can be content right now in the calling that you have. He uses other examples, verse number 21. "Art thou called being a servant?" He goes, are you like an employee? Are you working for someone else, right? He goes, care not for it. Don't worry about it. Some people think, well, one day if I just start my business and I don't have to work for other people, I can just work for myself, then I'll be content. He goes, don't worry about it. It's again, is there anything wrong with that? No. Okay, but again, the mentality that Christians can have is, if I just do this, then I'll be content. Then I'll walk with the Lord. Then I finally achieve. Look, you can serve the Lord. You can be content right now in the position you're at. He says, not just a servant. He goes, verse number 21, "But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." So someone that is free that is not a servant. Maybe you do work for yourself. Maybe you're the employer and you have other people. Because look, if you're free, well, use that. Use that to walk with the Lord. But if you're a servant, don't worry about it. Like, if you're not free like other people, don't worry about it. The point here is, Paul is addressing this issue. I want to be like that. I want to be like that person. Or if I just achieve this level, if I achieve that status, If I can be more like that person, look, that's going to destroy your contentment. You are unique and you're special and you're loved by God. And we come from different places and different backgrounds. And we have different strengths and different weaknesses. And God wants to use you today. Doesn't matter what your position of life is. And I'm telling you, when you walk with the Lord, and you know I'm doing right, not in the eyes of man, not what I want, but I'm doing what God wants. I'm telling you, that's the cheat code. There's contentment right there. And you'll be satisfied in life. And you're like, well, if I'm serving, if God wants me to remain a servant for the rest of my life, so be it. And if the Lord allows me to be made free and start my own business, well, praise God, I'll use that then to serve him. But whatever place you're at, brethren, serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, you will be happy. You'll be satisfied. We don't always be happy. Well, you're going to be more happy than sad, let's put it that way. And again, when the sadness comes, you're going to still be content. You know, I preach a lot about do it for Jesus, do it for God. I was trying to get, why am I keep saying that in my sermons? Because I wanted to get this point. This is the cheat code that I've been trying to work through my head. Because I've been having lots of conversations and things and concepts and ideas. And I just think, you know, there's a lack of contentment amongst God's people. There's definitely a lack of contentment in the world. I know that 100%. But I don't want to see it in God's people. Because I think it's a cheat code that's not, it's not really a cheat code. I mean it's just, if I've got that locked in my life, then you know what? I can face whatever challenge there is. I feel fulfilled in whatever capacity I'm in, whatever station of life I'm in. I feel fulfilled in life. If God were to end my life today, I'll be like, all right, Lord. I won't be like, well, hold on, Lord. I still got to achieve this and that. Well, Lord, if you didn't want me to start a church in every state in Australia, I guess someone else will. Lord willing, someone else will do it, right? I'm honestly, brother, I'm content in life. Again, even when I'm sad, I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled, even in sadness. If you find that you're losing your contentment when you're sad and cast down, you haven't really unlocked it properly. Contentment can always be there. Satisfaction can always be there. Fulfillment in Christ Jesus can always be there in life. It says in verse number 22, 1 Corinthians 7:22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Okay, so if you're a servant, if you're like, let's say you're going to be a servant, you're going to be an employee for the rest of your life. Because, well, you're a free man. According, you know, you're God's free man. God's made you free. You've been redeemed from the law. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You know, you've been made kings and priests. You're a son of God. You've got eternity to live for. You're free. I mean, you've got the advantage. Everyone else is still burdened. Everyone is still a servant of sin. Everyone is still struggling, not knowing if they're going to go to heaven or not. Look, you've been made free, even if that's the lot of your life, to remain an employee for the rest of your life. He goes, likewise, also he that is called being free, and like, man, I got freedom. I'm not held down by some job. I got my own business, etc. He goes, is Christ's servant. If you're free in life, well, make yourself Christ. You're Christ's servant. Serve Christ. So if you're a servant, you're free. And if you're free, you're a servant. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which position you're in. Again, as long as you're serving Christ, you're walking in his ways. Here's verse number 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Look at verse number, and drop into verse number 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Are you married? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Sometimes the idea is, well, Lord, you know, my family is stopping me from serving you the way that I ought to. Look, you got a wife, you got kids, you got other responsibilities. Don't seek to be loosed. You can still serve God in that life. If you're single, you're like, oh, Lord, I just, you know, I'll just be content in life if I could just find someone. Like, I hope you do. But look, if you're not content now as a single person, you're not going to be content when you're married. You've got to find contentment in the Lord. The Lord is with you, guiding you, teaching you in whatever position of life you're in. So why compare ourselves? That's what the world does. Oh, what are the Joneses doing? Oh, they bought a Ferrari, I'll buy a Lamborghini. He put a double story in his house, I'll do a triple story in my house. That's how the world is, believe it or not. But we can be like that as God's people. He's serving God faithfully, I'm not. Well, don't worry about what he's doing. Don't worry about what she's doing. Don't worry about what church down the road is doing. You walk with God. You fulfill his will in your life. You find contentment, whatever it is. My wife's holding me back. My kids are holding me back. My parents are holding me back. No, they're not. God's given you that family. God's given you that station in life. You can still serve him. I really want you to be content in life. And look, sometimes, yeah, when life can get really hard, sometimes that contentment can shake a little bit. It can. But not that I'm this great person. I'm not. I just thank my Savior because he's always there. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And my Lord's there. Even when I feel like everyone else has deserted me, my Lord is there. I feel content about that. I've got the most powerful being on the planet. Most powerful being of eternity on my side. He's created everything. And he's never going to leave me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows when I can't serve him how I would like, but or achieve this or achieve that. But Lord, this is the lot of life that you've given me, and I'm just going to serve you faithfully. I'm going to be content with what you've given me. I'm not going to be like this world, chasing this and chasing that. Hey, if I get it, I get it. Well, praise God. It's for him anyway. It's for my Lord. Come with me to Hebrews. No, actually, come with me to Philippians 4. Come with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. I feel like the Apostle Paul unlocked this cheat code himself. In fact, he says that he did in life. He really, truly unlocked this cheat code of contentment in life. In Philippians 4, please, verse 10. Philippians 4, 10. He says to the church, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at your last, your care for me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He says, look, he's received care from the Philippian church. He's received some type of financial help. Right? I mean, there was a point when they were lacked opportunity to get it to him, to Rome, but now he's received whatever aid they've given him. Then he says in verse number 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want." It's not like my desire was for your aid and for the whatever financial help has come my way. He goes, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He goes, look, it's such a blessing to receive this aid, this financial help from your church. He goes, but, you know, at the end of the day, whether I got it or not, I've learned to be content. Whether I'm poor, whether I'm rich, whether I have the possessions, if I don't, you know what? Paul says, I've unlocked the cheat code. I'm content. Look, if Paul can speak this way, I feel like I got there. Honestly, I feel like I got there in life. And I want you to get there in life. Like, you know this is true. You know what we read here. You can be content in whatever state you're in. But again, when we go through those states of difficulties and maybe poverty and whatever, you know, not achieving what you thought you would like to achieve in life, your contentment might be shaken. But I want you to get to this point where Paul is able to just say so confidently, right? Verse number 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." Abased is low and lacking, and to have too much, abound. "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." He goes, "I've been full, I've been hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." See, where does your contentment come from? It comes through Christ, who strengthens you. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what you think of life. I don't know if you're listening to the world and how they chase their level of contentment. They can never get there. They never get there. I'm telling you, I've heard enough. I realize, wow, they start with the material. Then they start to realize it's not the material, it's spiritual. Okay, but they just, because they're lacking the gospel and lacking the wisdom of God, they just can't find it. They can't find Christ who strengthens them. You have that. You have Christ. Christ will strengthen you. You know, for those of you that have traveled from different places, internationally or other states in recent times, I'm sure you've gone through moments where you've gone, well, Lord, are you going to provide? Lord, is this going to work? Right? And it can get a bit worrying. Like, you can start to worry a little bit. And again, that's just human nature. It's just how it is. It's what we are, right? And God allows us to go through these trials and challenges. But I hope that even when you're lacking and you think, is this going to even work? I hope you can say, you know what? But I'm content anyway. I'm fulfilled. I'm satisfied. You know, I'm walking with my Lord. If everything just falls apart, you know what? I can still be content in my Lord, because it's He who strengthens me. Not the self-actualization. I've got to discover who I am and figure out me. No, it's not about you. It's your strength must come from Jesus. They think it's about them. You can be anything you wish to be. I want to be anything that Christ wants me to be in my life. And, you know, again, I feel content. I don't have to be a pastor to be content. You know what? If there was a man in the church right now that was better suited to be the pastor of this church, I'd be tempted to ordain that man for me to sit down and just be a good right-hand man. Because I don't have to be the pastor. That's not what gives me contentment. I'm content in my Lord. Now, I want you to find that. I want you to unlock that cheat code in life. It's so worth it. Like, and you'll be so different from the rest of this world. You'll be different. I want my family, I want my kids to find it, you know? I want my church members to find this contentment. It's there in the scriptures. Just that this world is so carnal, it's so fleshly, it's so lustful, and it's so easy in our flesh to get distracted by this world and to lose our contentment in the Lord. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. While you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll read to you from Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. As ye have right now. Your broken down van, brother. Just be content about it. At least it got me this far. You know, I was thinking the last couple of years, I've spent so much money on fixing my vehicles. Like, I almost don't want to think about it. And I'm just putting over these thousands of dollars, paying for this and paying for that. But, you know, Christina said to me, do you feel kind of bad? Like, you know what? No, I don't. Like, I don't care how beat up my car is and how much I have to lay down. To me, it's like, well, I'm thankful God's given me those funds to pay for that repair, because that's a vehicle that I need to get from here to there. God knows what we need. You know what? I guess that money wasn't for the investment, or that money wasn't to pay down the mortgage. Or, you know what? God gave me that to pay for that vehicle. And I'm just content. Well, that's what it was for the whole time. Like, I don't beat myself up when there's a bill to pay. Oh, man, there's the electricity bill again, right? $700, whatever it is. Oh, how are we gonna? Somebody's like, well, I'm content. Well, thank you, Lord, for providing our electricity needs, that we could have air conditioning on a hot day, that we could have hot showers, that we could cook, that we could have the lights on during the dark, and now it's time to just pay for it. But I'm not like, oh, I've got to hand over this money, wait for the last due date before I put the money down. Like, no, it's like, look, thank you, Lord. You know? Where was I? I got 1 Timothy 6, right? You were there? I didn't finish Hebrews 13:5. Let me read it again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what I was talking about before. You've got God with you, living in you. How good is that? And then it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. Who helps you, Pastor Kevin? God helps me. He hears my prayers. He sees my sadness. He sees my trials and difficulties, and he's there to help me all the time. So what do I have to complain about? My life is made. I've got the best life anybody could ever live because I've got God as my helper. 1 Timothy 6:6. Let's finish on this one. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to gain something greatly. Oh, big bank account. No, godliness. Walk godly. Love your Lord. Speak to God. Spend time with him. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The world doesn't have it. They want it, but they don't know what it is that they want. We're all spiritual beings. We all have a need to be made right with our Creator. But the world thinks they can just seek it and find it themselves. No, we need God. We need to walk in his ways, and we need to be content. And look, your life will be something amazing. I tell you what, I'm really happy in life. And when I'm sad, I'm still content. It says in verse number 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You can't take it with you. Again, is there anything wrong with those things? No, God gives you those things. Praise God. Okay? But our contentment should not rest in those things. But again, the world is thinking that's where they're going to find contentment. Your contentment is in Christ Jesus. If you're not satisfied, if you're not fulfilled in life right now, you know, make sure tonight you pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help me find satisfaction, contentment, fulfillment in you. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've been trying to find it by this bank account, this value, or this project, or this position in life, or this social status, or this car. Or I'm sorry, Lord, that I've been looking for contentment in those things, and I need to find it in you. Again, that doesn't mean just give up and you don't do anything in life. I'm constantly trying to do more. I've got things I want to achieve. I've got goals that I would like to hit in life. But whether I do, or how long it takes, or the journey that it takes, I'm still content in Jesus Christ. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. He's my helper. Okay, let's pray.